Welcome to Blog Talk Radio in high fidelity.
This is Fight Back, the internet's premier anti-social justice, anti-communist, anti-socialist program on the internet. If you are ready to get into this fight, you are amongst friends. If you are not, then this show may be too intense for you.
Well, good morning. My name is Willie Lawson. This is Fight Back here on Blog Talk Radio. Today's show is entitled Calm Down, Stay Focused. Lots going on. You know, in these days, it's easy to be upset, angry, and despondent. It is my hope that you will stay focused and hopeful. There's much to do. No single election of any single person can fix everything. If you are of that mindset, you're going to have to make a huge paradigm shift today. When the Berlin Wall came down and the Soviet Union fell, that was not the end of communism. Yes, those were two major events in world history for sure, but these events did not make the difference people thought they would. There was and still is much work to do for freedom and liberty to be the order of the day. The election of Donald Trump did manage to keep Hillary Clinton out of the White House, but it did not stop the supporters of socialism and communism from continuing to advance their agenda. These people have the bully pulpit of mainstream media and will continue to use it. The media mission is twofold. First, to encourage their supporters. Second, to discourage us. They want to send us scampering after a thousand different things, making sure that we cannot focus on coming together on the larger issues that face our nations. We have seen this more in this election cycle than any other before. The fact that Jill Stein of the Green Party and Hillary Clinton, a Democrat, are working together sends a signal that the left is frightened. They see that there is the potential of great change, so they must keep us divided and scattered. So we must come together and focus if we are to advance the conservative agenda in the next 4 years and into the future. And when I mean the conservative agenda, I don't necessarily mean the Trump agenda or even the Republican agenda. I mean the conservative. I mean the agenda that celebrates life. I mean the agenda that celebrates freedom and liberty, both economically and personally. I mean, that's the agenda. That's the conservative agenda that I'm talking about. So that's what we have to focus on. But what we can't, if we're going to get tied up in all the media minutia and maybe I shouldn't, but I'm sort of getting my lead from my Facebook feed, and normally my Facebook feed, frankly, is full of people who are pretty stable, pretty on target, because I have made it such that I don't want to see a bunch of nervous Nellies. I don't want to, you know what, and I don't want to see a bunch of people who are the, like Mike Huckabee said, the bedwetting, hand-wringing Republicans. I don't want to see them on my Facebook page. I don't want to see their posts. Unfortunately, it looks like some of the people who I thought were more stable are maybe not as stable as I thought they were. Maybe not as committed as I thought they were. And I'm not talking about all the people who were Trump sycophants and supporters. I'm not talking all the people, you know, with the people that who are Republican, who fought against Trump until the last moment, even saying that they were on Team Hillary. I'm not talking about them either. I'm talking about the people who have been with me for, you know, what, almost my entire time on Facebook, who have been pretty on target about stuff. Some of them seem to be going off the rails, frankly. And I this is the second time that I think I've done a show with a similar title of Stay Calm, Stay Focused. Because it's really really important. There's too much at stake. So today we're going to hit about, let's see, 7 different things. Seven different things that that are going on out there, and we're going to explain them, and we're going to tell you why to what to focus on, what not to focus on, and so we can get on with the order of adulting in the United States instead of childing in the United States. I think it's extremely, extremely important that we have this conversation. All right, listen, we're going to take a little break. We'll be back right after these short messages.
So my name is Gary James. I've been helping people make sure that they know what they're talking about when they buy a new home. About the last 2 or 3 years, I'm actually a realtor with Charles Ruttenberg Realty, but New Homes of Tampa Bay is something completely separate from that. When I started New Homes of Tampa Bay, the whole goal was to show people how do you save money when you buy a new home, and then that grew into how do you stay safe, and then that grew into what are the providing people with the same information and resources that I use.
New Homes of Tampa Bay. That's newhomestpa.com. Facts, faith, and focus. The RedRiverChronicle.com provides all three with on-point opinion and concise commentary. Start each day with the RedRiverChronicle.com. That's the RedRiverChronicle.com.
It's all the rage to call and order flowers from 1-800-WHATEVER or go online and order them from some nameless, faceless person on the other end. I'm saying you should do something different. You should, before doing that, call my friends at Blooming Days Flower Shop, located right here in Tampa, Florida, at 11618 North Florida Avenue, 33612. Christine and her staff don't look at just the order, they look at the customer, they look at your occasion. They consider the entire person, the entire occasion, before making decisions about design and price. You're more than just a customer. You're a friend. Call our friends at Blooming Days Flower Shop, toll free at 1-800-330-3297. 1-800-330-3297. Local, 813-971-5947. 813-971-5947. You can reach them on the web at www.bloomingdays.com.
This is Fight Back, the internet's premier anti-social justice, anti-communist, anti-socialist program on the internet. If you are ready to get into this fight, you are amongst friends. If you are not, then this show may be too intense for you.
All right, we're back. Thank you for listening to Fight Back, the premier flagship show of fightbackmedia.com. That's fightbackmedia.com. We're going to talk about a few things today. Hopefully, I can remain in a calm voice because I want to keep you calm. There's so much going on that it seems a little crazy. It seems a little nutty. People are very, very upset. People are very, very scattered. People are freaking out. Everybody's freaking out. I think that, it's one of those things that I sort of pride myself on. I will not rise to the anxiety level of the people around me. I've long since stopped doing that. So when I had heart trouble a couple of years ago, it wasn't because I was anxious. Because I don't get anxious. You can't make me anxious about something that I'm not already anxious about. Oh, and I don't get anxious. But I do, because I'm willing to, and I want to share this with you, I'm willing to look at things as they are and focus on the big picture. It's easy to get caught up in the minutia and run around trying to put out 1,000 fires. When it's easier just to back up and find out that the fire that you're dealing with is fairly small, if you focus on the big thing, put out that fire, it pretty much settles down everything. And this is something that I talk about in my book, Interpersonal Relation. You know, my new book, Did You Hear What You Just Said? That is going to be available on Amazon on December 24th. It's available for pre-order now from the website. So go ahead and do that. It's my first book. I'm excited about it. We've still got some finishing up to do. The pre-order isn't the entire book, but if you pre-order it, you'll get the entire book. It's one of a series. The title of the book is Did You Hear What You Just Said? It's a book on interpersonal relationships and communication. My first book, pre-order it from Amazon. Have it delivered to your Kindle or your Kindle Fire on December 24th. All right. Let's talk about some of the things going on in the news. Let's talk about the appointment or the non-appointment of Mitt Romney to the Trump administration. Now, I know, frankly, that Mitt Romney said some horrific things about Donald Trump, professionally and personally. Now, the thing is, I'll tell you what, when Mitt Romney said he was running for president again in this cycle, I rolled my eyes and took a big sigh. I was like, oh, no. I just kind of went, oh, no, really? Really? Is there, Mittens, is there some reason for this? Why? You know, I was really like, good God, go away. This is my feeling about Mitt Romney. Oh, please, can you just go away? So at this point, not a big Mitt Romney fan. At that point in the election cycle, not a big Mitt Romney fan. Was kind of hoping that he would go away. He didn't, which I guess is his prerogative, right? It is his prerogative to hang in there and run for president if he wants to, right? So I was like, all right. Well, oops, trying to do more than one thing at a time, not working out. Okay. Anyway. So I was like, okay, I didn't figure from the things that I talked to people about that he would hang in very long and that it would be like 2008. He would be in and out before most people noticed, but goodness gracious, he ended up in the debates and he ended up, in this back and forth with Donald Trump. Completely and totally not equipped for the construction site sort of back and forth that Donald Trump is used to. And pretty much like Jeb Bush, absolutely crushed. And then started acting like a hurt little kid. Okay. And because he came out so strongly against Donald Trump, there were, of course, the Trump supporters who rallied around Donald Trump in the very same way that the Obama supporters rallied around President Obama. See, I always try my best to tell the truth. Although, just like I said about Barack Obama, he didn't need that. You know what? Barack Obama didn't need people to rally around him because he was a grown ass man and he was fine. He didn't need all that. He just didn't need all that. But people did it. And Donald Trump's a grown ass man. He didn't need all that. But people did it. But people did it anyway. And I, you know what? And whatever, whatever. That's kind of what people, I mean, that's what kind of what people do. They feel that if you attack their, you know what, their leader, their chief, the people, the person that they're supporting, then they are obligated to come back after you. And that's what happened. So we got this whole we hate Mitt Romney thing by a bunch of people who voted for Mitt Romney in the last election cycle. Who waved signs, gave money, knocked on doors, walked neighborhoods, the whole deal for Mitt Romney. From the very same people who did that for Mitt Romney now hate Mitt Romney, right? Okay. So now Mitt Romney is up for maybe a cabinet position, maybe something like Secretary of State, right? Now, does this seem different? Does this seem different than 2008 to you? Or does this seem exactly the same as 2008, where Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama go at it tooth and toenail, tooth and toenail? It was Hillary Clinton that brought up that maybe Barack Obama is not eligible to be president because of maybe he wasn't born here. He's not a natural born citizen of the United States. It was Hillary Clinton campaign that brought that crap up. So it was pretty, you know, it's pretty hateful. And my opinion is that Hillary Clinton and Bill Clinton still don't necessarily like the Obamas. I don't think Bill Clinton likes Barack Obama. I don't think they're friends. I don't think they're going to hang out as ex-presidents. I don't think they're going to play golf. I don't think he's going to have the same relationship that he had with W's dad, traveling the world doing good. I just don't think they're going to. Maybe I'm wrong. We'll find out. But it was the same sort of thing. And were you surprised when Barack Obama picked Hillary Clinton to be Secretary of State? Were you surprised when Barack Obama picked his other major opponent in 2008 as his vice president? Were you surprised? Were you surprised? Well, I'll tell you what it did. And this is something that a lot of people don't want to hear, but I'll tell you. Here's what it did. It managed to unify the party, it managed to take elements that were scattered at that point and bring them together. Because now they all had a similar mission. They all had a unified purpose. Another chapter that's in my book that I'm writing from Amazon. You can go to fightback.com and you can pre-order that book from Amazon. It'll be automatically downloaded to you on your Kindle Fire or your Kindle e-reader. So that's the crazy part. The crazy part is that's what happened. And you know what? And come on now. A lot of us understand that's what happens. That's how this stuff works, right? The venom and the hatefulness that gets said in campaigns is just that, campaign rhetoric. And frankly, it isn't even like the candidates don't mean it, because I think they do. But they don't mean it long enough for it to matter. They don't mean it long enough past the next poll. In the presidential election, they don't mean it far enough past the next time somebody gets out, suspends their campaign. They mean it at the time, but they don't mean it past that. So this whole idea that Romney may end up being in the administration, calm down, settle down, stay focused. It's not a big deal. Not a big deal. It may be, if it happens, and I don't know if it's going to happen because, as you can see, my crystal ball fell on my Ouija board, wiped them both out. So I can't tell you what the future. It may be the best thing. It may be the best thing. We know that good leaders do something. Good leaders put people around them that will tell them, that will disagree with them, that will have to make the case for something else. Hey, Karina, are you practicing? I'm talking to Karina. I'm on Facebook Live as I'm doing my show. I'm doing my show here on Blood Talk Radio, and Karina Werner is on my Facebook Live, and she was wonderful. A student that I have who was a from Germany, who was watching, and she just had a birthday. Happy birthday again. But you know what? And she's sort of getting the political thing from the United States as all this craziness, as this hilarity ensued after the election of Donald Trump. So, you know, this is something that happens all the time. So we need to stay calm and stay focused. It may be okay. It may be fine. I don't know. Seems like it might be. Seems like it may bring in an element of the party that needs to be brought in from the cold. Maybe you're fine. All right. So there isn't any reason to lose your crap over it. There's no reason to. It's ridiculous. Don't do it. Just don't do it. Stay focused on the big things. The big things. And the cool thing is that the big things are not in D.C. The big things aren't in Washington. The big things are right around you. The big things are what's happening in your city. Like here in Tampa, there's a push to turn Tampa into a sanctuary city. Well, sanctuary cities are a national deal, but it is possible, and it's not possible, or it's not smart to leave whether Tampa turns into a sanctuary city to Washington, D.C. That's not smart. What's smart is that if we don't want Tampa, Florida, for instance, to be a sanctuary city is for illegal aliens to come and get all the benefits of citizens without actually being citizens, and to suck out resources from the people in those municipalities that actually need them and deserve them because of their citizenship. I don't know. Doesn't seem right to me. But it's much easier to approach that from a local level. It's right there in your face that you can do something about, than to try to approach it from some national level, right? Waiting for Donald Trump to fix it. I mean, like I said in the open, there's been no election where one person can fix everything, especially here in the United States because of how our government works. There's no way that one person can fix everything. It's not possible. It's never been possible. So we talked about the Romney thing. We're going to move on to the Castro thing. It's we're approaching the bottom of the hour here. Castro, Fidel Castro, has assumed room temperature. That means he died. Now, my wife brought up an interesting point. She said, "I don't know if he's really dead, and if he's dead, how long he's been dead." You know, some of these countries are not always the most forthcoming with information. And when the information actually comes out, you have to sort of look at it with an ensconced eye. You can't just accept it as being truthful. So Castro dies, and there's celebrating in the streets of Havana. They're celebrating in the streets of Little Havana in Miami, celebrating that this man is finally dead. You know, it sort of reminded me of that scene in the movie Color Purple with Whoopi Goldberg and Danny Glover, where she goes and finds out that the man that she thought was Paul was not Paul, that this dead man, and I'm sort of paraphrasing the lines in the movie, her mother married after her real daddy died. So she is happy that her children are not our brother and sister. So it's that kind of happiness. And then she gets the house. And this is a great, and this is a great part of the movie where she gets the house and she's walking up to it and she goes, cha, 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 cha. This is exactly what I see happening in Little Havana and what I see happening in Havana. They're celebrating the death of this man. They are happy he is dead. But what does the left do? The left finds a way on social media, first on social media, and then in mainstream media, to try to lionize this man. Even the president's remarks are pretty soft. For somebody who was as ruthless, I mean, ruthless as Fidel Castro. Castro, not only did he not have his opponents murdered, in his paranoia, he had people who had supported him in his Batista, he had them murdered too. Tens of thousands of people were murdered at the hands of Fidel Castro. Tens of thousands of people were murdered. Property was confiscated. Businesses were confiscated. A tyrant. A dictator. A violent dictator. Human rights were crushed. Now, somebody, you know, of course, mainstream media and the liberal left mentions that there's a 99.1% literacy rate. Yeah, but you don't get to, but you don't get to pick what you read. Everybody gets health care. Yeah, but that health care sucks. Everybody gets it, but it's awful. So what's the deal? Yeah, everybody gets a car, but the car doesn't have any gas in it. Yay. But I get a free car, and there's no gas in it. It doesn't have an engine, but you get a free car. Right? Yay. But he's dead. And so the left and mainstream media has us running around, putting out fires, being concerned with the left's treatment of lionizing Fidel Castro. Well, the fact of the matter is that he's dead and in hell. Who cares? Who cares? Stay focused. You know, this whole idea of Ted Cruz and some others, you know, saying that Democrats and President Obama shouldn't go to Castro's funeral. Yeah, I don't think they should go, but I don't care. I don't think they should go. I don't think they should go and be sad. He was a great leader. Well, hell, so was Mussolini. So was Hitler. Is that interesting? Let's back up for a second. Let's back up. That sparked me a little bit. When Donald Trump said that Vladimir Putin was a great leader, the left lost their mind. They just went. Hitler, a great leader. If you decide if you can define what leader means, the person who can be in charge and take their nation or country or people the direction they have to take it. If someone could realize their vision through a people or a company or a nation or team, does that make them a great leader? Now, do greatly, Attila the Hun, great leader. Now, great leader doesn't make you a great person. You could still be a piece of whale dung as a person. So a great leader doesn't make you a great person. Those things are not synonymous. So that's one of the things we have to be very careful of. Being a great leader doesn't make you a great person. So when somebody says that Hitler was a great leader, he, you know what, I guess technically he was a great leader. He wasn't a great person. But he was, you could probably put him in the category of great leaders. Mussolini, great leader. Brezhnev, another great leader. Not great people, not even people. You know, John Gotti, great leader. Had hundreds of people murdered, not a good person. They are not synonymous. The left will have you believe that they are synonymous if indeed they can use that argument against people, that argument against people on the right. Now, when they call Castro a great leader, they also mean that he was a great person. He was not a great person. He may indeed have been a great leader by the barrel of a gun. But not a great person. So let's not get caught up in the whole Castro debate. Who cares? So what? He's dead. And here's the truth, if you're wondering, what's going to happen next? A lot of people are wondering, what happens now? Nothing. Raul is in charge. Raul is 85. He may live another 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 years. Nothing is going to change. Now, the younger brother is 55 and a little bit more open to the outside. So there's still 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 years where nothing in Cuba is going to change. Now, what is going to be Trump's view on all this as things go on? I don't know. Because I told you before, my crystal ball fell on my Ouija board, so I don't know. They're both broken. I don't know what's going on. So my guess is that not much will change. American companies have put a lot of money into Cuba right now, and I doubt very seriously that Trump is going to wake up one morning and go, that's it, no more Cuba. I don't think there'll be any furthering in normalization of relationship. But I don't think it'll regress. I think mainstream media will hop up and down and tell you that it's going to regress, but I don't think it's going to regress. I think that the flights from Tampa into Cuba will continue. I think that the restrictions that are in place now will remain in place. I don't think that the embargo in trade will change. I think that that will stay where it is now at its current level. But anything spectacular? No, because Cuba, first of all, Cuba isn't going to change. Cuba is not going to change because somebody who hasn't been in power for 10 years, because Raul's been in power for 10 years, is now dead. Nothing is going to change. It was a feel-good moment. It was a cha-cha-cha moment for a lot of the Cuban people, but they knew that it wasn't really going to make any difference. All right, let's get to my all right, cool. All right, let's go on to General Petraeus. General Petraeus was a war hero. Gulf War I. I've asked to come back to head up the second Gulf War. He had a little problem. So they had an affair with a chick that was writing an autobiography. Not good. Great leader, not a great person. If you have an affair on your wife, you're not a good person. Good people don't cheat on their spouses. They don't. Good people don't cheat on their spouses. Great leader, not such a good guy. But may be up for a position in the Trump administration. Especially as a diplomat. There aren't many people who know more about that region. I mean, the region that we are most concerned about in our country than David Petraeus. Probably a good idea that you have his his viewpoint and his knowledge in that situation. There are probably, again, probably not many people in, you know what, in our country who know more about it than David Petraeus. Seems like a smart thing to do. Seems like a smart thing to do. So this whole idea, and again, this show is all Facebook driven today. To see people, you know, screaming, yelling about Petraeus, and he's been charged with a crime, and blah blah blah. Yes, and he went through the procedures, and he has suffered his penalty. He has suffered his penalty, and now it's time to put his back to work. Nobody knows. I don't think anybody knows more about it. I don't think Donald Trump knows more about ISIS and that stuff than David Petraeus, regardless of what Trump says in the campaign. And you know what? Trump knows that. He knows that the smart guy is David Petraeus. He knows that. And I think he should bring him on. I think he should bring him on board. If he doesn't bring him on board, you know what? It's whatever. But to use that and play dizzy bat, let the mainstream media play dizzy bat with that while you spin around the bat getting dizzy and unfocused, seems silly to me. Seems stupid to me, as a matter of fact. All right. Let's see, we got about 22 minutes. Hamilton. You remember Hamilton? The 4 weeks of bullcrap about the musical Hamilton, where the one of the people in the cast at the end of the musical addresses Mike Pence, Vice-elect Mike Pence, and says that we're worried. What? You're worried? Worried about what? As you can see, we're a diverse cast. What? So he explained his concerns about the rhetoric in the campaign and what a Trump administration will look like. Completely overreacting, being Captain Cupcake, and the rest of the cast was like the Snow Warriors. Oh, we're so worried. What is going to happen to us? Shut up. You're gonna do your musical for another 90 weeks, and then you're gonna go and do something stupid that nobody even cares about. You're gonna read those lines from Alexander Hamilton, and you're not even going to listen to them. You're not even gonna know what they mean. You're just going to read them. If you read them, what you find out is that Donald Trump is a lot more like Hamilton than Jefferson. Very much the populace. Much more like Alexander Hamilton, the subject of the musical, than he is to Washington or Jefferson or any of those guys. That's what you'd know. But they had us playing dizzy bat with that crap too. Thank goodness that Mike Pence is the smartest one in the crowd, who looked at his daughter while that was going on and whispered to her, this is what freedom sounds like. And when the cast finally apologized, he accepted their apology and said, move on, let's go. Why? Because we have work to do. There's much work to do in this country. Smart, real smart, as a matter of fact. All right. There have been, and we've seen that there's a recount going on, right? Good morning, Mr. Swanson. There's a recount going on. And it was led by Jill Stein. So if you don't know, hang on a second here, I'm going to get my feet untangled from these wires. If you don't know who Jill Stein is, I'm not surprised. Jill Stein was the presidential candidate of the Green Party. And if you don't know who the Green Party is, I'm not surprised. the Green Party. Yes, she is a chief whiner. Now, it's interesting about the Green Party. If you remember Bernie Sanders, who ran against Hillary Clinton as a Democrat, Jill Stein, upon winning the nomination of the Green Party, I'm not sure how they won it. I'm not sure how they did it. I don't know if they played checkers. I don't know if they did jello wrestling. I'm not sure if they played American Ninja Warrior. I'm not sure how you get that nomination, frankly. I don't know. I just don't know how you get it. I don't know if you lose a card game, you get it. You play poker, and if you lose, you're the nominee. I'm not sure how they do it. She tried to give it to Bernie Sanders. Should have turned over to Bernie Sanders. And Bernie Sanders said, nah, I'm good. Nah, that's all right, I'm good. Which I thought was hysterical. When Bernie Sanders, who was running for president, knowing that he'd been screwed by Debbie Wasserman Schultz and the DNC in the primary process, said, nah. I thought that was hysterically funny. Let's see here. And Paul, let me move this so I can see it here. And as far as the recounts in Wisconsin, there are no updates at this point, according to my friend Paul Swanson, who's way, way, way freaking north in the country, damn near Canada. I can see Canada from my house. sort of up north, where it has already snowed. Let me look out my window here. Is that, what's all that white stuff? Sunshine. That's what outside my window. See all this white stuff you see in my face there? You know what that is? Sunshine. Warm, wonderful sunshine. Leaves seem to be moving. Oh, is that wind? No, it's just a breeze. It's wonderful. Anyway, so there's no updates. These recounts. Here's the deal. The word in one of these states is, I think it's Pennsylvania, that the recount deadline has already passed. She's raised about $6 million. Now, if you think these $6 million to fund these recounts came from $3 donations on the internet, you are as silly as you look. These donations of millions of dollars, have come from the forces. Yes, Pennsylvania is a no-go for recount. That's exactly right. She missed the deadline. I thought so. Thanks, Paul. I appreciate that. So the idea is if you think that this money came from $3 donations from grandmas and college kids who were in their cry room on their iPhones sending in their $3 donations, you're crazy. This money came from the very same people who it is to their benefit financially to destabilize America at every turn. And there are people in the world who their goal is to destabilize us. And that's not me out of some paranoia. That's me out of seeing what people like George Soros has done to his own country, destroying the entire damn near destroying the economic system of Great Britain by himself. These are the kind of people who are in the world. That's it. And this is where this kind of money comes from. And there's a benefit to destroying or destabilizing this country right here. There's a benefit to it if you're somewhere else, because if you can bring down America to the same level as a lot of places on the planet, then there could be a mass redistribution of that wealth. I did a show a few weeks ago telling people it's all about the money. It's all about the money. And that's not new. It's always been about the money. The money brings you power. And with more power, you can get more money. Well, that's why we're seeing the kind of things we're seeing. That's why we're seeing this recount. There isn't any bit, this recount can change nothing. Because the popular vote doesn't matter. That's not how we do it in America. For those of you who missed civics in eighth grade, that's why we have the Electoral College. We have the Electoral College to keep the big states from beating up on the little ones. You know? And Paul Swanson on Facebook Live is right. It is the first the first investigation about any news story is to follow the money. And I, you know what, I use that in anything that comes up in the news, anything. A survey, a study that says blah, 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 blah. I always go, well, my first question is, who paid for the study? There are very few studies that are unpaid, that happen organically. Somebody paid for the scientist, somebody paid for the equipment, somebody pays for something. So who's paying for the study that says that fatback is good for you? It's the pork producers. There's been no study about fatback being good for you. But if there was, a study that came out tonight that said that fatback is good for you and you should eat 5 pounds of fatback a day, you know it's the pork producers, right? Who funded the study and will benefit from it, right? So whenever these things come out, whenever you have these things about whether it's eggs, in my life, eggs have been good, bad, bad for you, good for you. Eat more eggs. Don't eat an egg. If you eat an egg, you'll die. If you eat an egg, you'll be a super person. Eat an egg if you want one. Don't eat 50 eggs a day. That can't be good for you, because eating 50 anything is not good for you, right? But who paid for these studies? The anti-egg studies were paid for by the cereal people, right? The pro-egg studies were paid by the egg producers, right? So, these recounts are being paid for by the people who want to destabilize the country. That's who these recounts are being paid for by. There isn't any grassroots upset about recount there, because even there's not enough electoral. It isn't like it's close. It isn't like it's 271 Trump, 269 Clinton, that one of these will change the whole thing. No. That's why there have been electors. That's why there have been electors that have been threatened. Threatened. Their lives threatened. Their livelihoods threatened. Because how it worked, for those of you who are out of country, here, who may not understand how it works here in the U.S., is that every state has electors, people. Normally, they're elected officials, but they could be anybody, who go along with the popular vote of that state, and they have the same number of electors for both parties. So there are, in this case of Florida, 27 electoral votes, right? 27 electoral votes. And there were 27 Democrat electors and 27 Republican electors ready to go. So when the state went for Donald Trump, the 29 Republican electors will vote on December 19th. And they will cast all their ballots for Donald Trump. That's what that is. And it was a way to keep the big states, the highly populated states, from running roughshod over everybody else. So a presidential candidate would only have to campaign right now in the most populated states, Florida, Illinois, New York, and California. So four of the states, and Texas possibly, could decide who the president was. That's probably not the best idea, right? So now, other states who are important, states like Kansas and Oklahoma, Pennsylvania, Wisconsin, Georgia, Alabama, Mississippi, Washington, Oregon, all get a voice. It's the best way to do it. It's the most intelligent way to do it. Because it keeps the 51% from running roughshod over the 49%. So these recounts, don't worry about them. Let them hop up and down and scream and yell. They're not going anywhere. Don't matter. It's just what they do. Now, we've got about 8 minutes. I want to talk about the media. Something else to stay calm about the media now. In all the things I mentioned, Romney, Castro, Petraeus, Hamilton, the recount, the electors, all of it, and all the stories you hear. I just, before I started the show, I got off the Washington Post, and there was a story with a video of allegedly a Trump supporter giving some people in a Michael's store holy hell because she thought that she had been mistreated. And the whole bend of the story was that she had said in the story, in the video, that she voted for Trump. And the whole idea was Trump supporter mistreats Michael's store employees, blah, 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 blah. The mainstream media in America in 2008, came out of the closet, but they actually came out of the closet. They came out of the closet on the side of the left, fully, totally, full-throatedly, with how they handled the presidential election of 2008. How they decided that there were stories that they were not going to pursue. They were not going to vet Barack Obama. They just weren't going to. They weren't going to look into his association with Bill Ayers of the Underground Weathermen. They were not going to look into that at all. They weren't going to look for one single thing that he might have written, because he was supposed to be the editor of the Law Review, and everybody who was the editor really has written something for the Harvard Law Review, has written something. Just not going to look into it. They were not going to see if there was one thing they can find of scholarly nature that this man had written. They just weren't going to. It wasn't like they couldn't find it, because that means they would have had to look for it. And that in itself would have been the story, and the story that nobody else could find anything wasn't a story for me. It had come out of the closet silently behind candidate Obama, Senator Obama. And once you're out, it's like everything else. You're never going back. You can't go back. Once you're out of the closet. So a lot of us who were paying attention back in 2007, 2008, especially because we started my radio show here on the internet, which was originally called the Rational Black Man Show way back then. We saw that. And then I changed it to the Willie Lawson Show. And now it is branded as Fight Back, the Fight Back Media Group. So there you go. There's a quick history of what we're doing here. But you know what? We saw that for the very first time open. Now it had. If something had been in the closet, that means it didn't change when it got out of the closet. It was always been that way, which explained a lot over time. But this is what we're dealing with, a media that is in bag for the left. So we are not going to ever get a fair shake. So we can't worry about it. We just can't worry about it. Just can't. You know, in the interview that I had with Andrew Breitbart, the interview that I had with Andrew Breitbart, my very first real interview, and maybe I'll put that up on, maybe I'll put it up tonight. Maybe I'll upload it and put it up so people can listen to it. Because there's no shame in my game. Frankly, he was wonderful and I was not wonderful at all. He said, and this is why we're doing Fight Back Media now, that what the right has to do is if we want to have any say, we need to buy up all the leftist media. We need to buy the CNNs. We need to buy the MSNBCs, to buy the Washington Post. We need to buy all of them, fire everybody and start again or build our own, which is why we're doing Fight Back Media. You know what? Because Andrew Breitbart said we need to build our own. Okay, so I'm now a contractor and we're building our own here at Fight Back Media because the mainstream media cannot be trusted. It is corrupt through and through and is dead to our purpose. It's dead to our republic. So we need something. So groups like this that we have formed here, and the people that we are supporting, people like Paul Swanson of the Swanson Report, go to the Swanson Report every day. Let me see if I can, my connection has gone weak. Let me see if I can read this, it's too far away. There you go. Yes, we are, no they can't, that's the truth. So the deal is that they, you know, mainstream media is dead to their job as what we need as part of a free society and a free republic. They're dead and they are corrupt through and through, so there isn't any reason to trust them. They can't be trusted. When Donna Brazile, it gets found out that Donna Brazile has given the Hillary Clinton before one of the debates, and they don't deny it, it can no longer be trusted. You know, people like, again, my friend Paul Swanson, there you go. His website is, was that winksite.com/pswanson/Paul Swanson? There you go. It's the new website, right there on my Facebook Live page. And if you're listening, go to my Facebook page. You can go and see clips from K. Carl Smith, C.L. Bryant, Sonny Johnson, Kevin Batts, the Reverend Chronicle.com, and Alfonso Rachel, a new voice, the new voice for the new century. Until we see you again, go out there and learn something, love somebody, and for goodness sakes, y'all take care of yourself. We love and appreciate you. Happy birthday, Karina.
This is Fight Back, the internet's premier anti-social justice, anti-communist, anti-socialist program on the internet. If you are ready to get into this fight, you are amongst friends. If you are not, then this show may be too intense for you.